news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The question then is not whether the president did it, but whether the United States Senate or the American people should decide what to do about what he did. That's a direct quote from a statement issued in 15 parts Thursday night on Twitter by retiring Senator Lamar Alexander. Tweet number 3 reads, quote, "There is no need for more evidence to conclude that the president withheld United States aid, at least in part, to pressure Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. The House managers have proved this with what they call a, quote, mountain of overwhelming evidence." Yeah, he wrote that. And tweets 5 through 7 read, quote, "It was inappropriate for the president to ask a foreign leader to investigate his political opponent and to withhold United States aid to encourage that investigation. When elected officials inappropriately interfere with such investigations, it undermines the principle of equal justice under the law. So far, so good, but brace yourself. Here comes the kicker," Alexander continues. But the Constitution does not give the Senate the power to remove the president from office and ban him from this year's ballot simply for actions that are inappropriate. And with that statement, it looks like it's all over but the crying. Moments after Alexander let his views be known, Senator Susan Collins announced she's voting yes, of course, after it no longer helps. A 50-50 tie is still possible if Senators Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski both say yes, although Democrats have floated the idea that Chief Justice John Roberts should break a tie, it's unlikely he'd do so. Congressman Adam Schiff, the lead House impeachment manager, floated one last idea to mollify the critics who said allowing witnesses would take too long.
"We'll make an offer to opposing counsel who have said that this will stretch on indefinitely if you decide to have a single witness. Let's cabin the depositions to 1 week. In the Clinton trial, there was 1 week of depositions. And you know what the Senate did during that week? They did the business of the Senate. The Senate went back to its ordinary legislative business while the depositions were being conducted. You want the Clinton model? Let's use the Clinton model. Let's take a week. Let's take a week to have a fair trial. You can continue your business. We can get the business of the country done. Is that too much to ask in the name of fairness, that we follow the Clinton model, that we take 1 week? I mean, are we really driven by the timing of the State of the Union? Should that be our guiding principle? Can't we take 1 week to hear from these witnesses? I think we can. I think we should. I think we must."
So the second of 2 days of questions from the senators to the House managers and Trump's legal team had a few moments worth noting. Early in the day, Senator Rand Paul repeated his attempt from the day before to enter the name of the alleged whistleblower into the record. And for the second time, Chief Justice Roberts shut him down.
"Mr. Chief Justice.
Senator from Kentucky.
I have a question to present to the desk for the House Manager Schiff and for the President's counsel.
The presiding officer declines to read the question as submitted."
And later in the day, Senator Elizabeth Warren's question prompted a stare down from Roberts. Perhaps she hit a bit too close to home.
"The question from Senator Warren is for the House managers. At a time when large majorities of Americans have lost faith in government, does the fact that the Chief Justice is presiding over an impeachment trial in which Republican senators have thus far refused to allow witnesses or evidence contribute to the loss of legitimacy of the Chief Justice, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution?"
And here we are at Friday. The chamber gavels in at around 1 p.m. We'll move to 4 hours of debate on whether to call witnesses or request new documents. That motion should come to a vote at around 5 or 6 p.m. Eastern. If the witness vote fails, as it's apt to do, more discussion will happen, then a vote on whether to proceed to the final vote. That motion is amendable, so Democrats might want to try to force through some tough votes. Then, once they get past the motion to go to a final vote, they'll proceed to a final vote. This will be a very late night. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, across the globe, at 11 p.m. local time in Great Britain, 6 p.m. Eastern time, the European Union will shrink from 28 members to 27 as the United Kingdom officially leaves the bloc 3.5 years after voting to do so. After meeting with his cabinet, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to deliver an address to the nation shortly before departure and argue that Brexit is not an end of times, but rather, quote, a moment of real national renewal and change. Actually, not much will change in the first year anyway. The UK and the European Union will continue to trade under the bloc's rules through an 11-month transition period, during which the two sides will negotiate new agreements on trade and security. Those talks are scheduled to begin in March. Closer to home, the House of Representatives on Thursday voted to curb Donald Trump's authority to order military operations in Iraq. The House repealed the 2002 Iraq War authorization in a mostly party line 236 to 166 vote. The Trump administration had used the authorization to justify his order for the drone strike that killed Iranian General Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad. Well, you should recall that Democrats last year won control of Virginia's government, and they're making good on their promises. The Virginia House of Delegates on Thursday passed 7, count them, 7 gun safety bills. The new measures address universal background checks and substantial risk protective orders. They limit the number of handgun purchases by one person to one per month. The legislation is expected to pass the state Senate, then be signed by the Democratic governor. See, rest of the states, that's how you do it. The World Health Organization on Thursday declared that the coronavirus outbreak that started in the city of Wuhan in central China has become a global health emergency. More than 200 people have died from the virus and more than 9,400 have been infected. The U.S. issued its highest warning against travel to China after a tenfold increase in infections over 1 week. Keep in mind that the flu has killed more people in the United States alone this season alone than have been infected globally by the coronavirus. Just saying. Wash your hands. The Pentagon on Thursday admitted that the number of service members with brain injuries from Iran's bombing in retaliation for Trump's strike killing General Soleimani now stands at 64, up from 50 just 2 days earlier. Remember Donald Trump's Muslim ban? Well, he's expected on Friday to announce an expansion of his policy restricting travel from several majority Muslim countries. A draft of the updated ban reportedly adds restrictions on travelers from 6 more countries: Belarus, Myanmar, Eritrea, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Tanzania. The White House didn't immediately comment on the matter. Trump administration also on Thursday announced a Medicaid overhaul that would let states cap their spending on health benefits for many poor adults. The decision would give states the option of curbing coverage for millions of Americans that were given access to the program through the Affordable Care Act. Democrats and consumer advocates said the move would jeopardize access to medical care for millions of people. And finally, there's a dress. Lawyers for columnist E. Jean Carroll, the woman who's accused Donald Trump of raping her in the 90s, have requested a DNA sample from the president. Carroll reportedly is seeking to determine whether Trump matches genetic material on a dress she was wearing when she says he raped her in a dressing room in Bergdorf Goodman in Manhattan a couple of decades ago. Carroll's lawyers want Trump to submit a sample by March 2nd for analysis. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Please click on that donate button.